Good morning. We're going to go ahead and begin with our morning announcements. I want to welcome all of you this morning to the Lord's house in this time of worship, and we welcome all of our guests and visitors that are visiting with us this morning. I have several announcements this morning to make. First of all, in your bulletins, you'll see this little blurb that I put in here. This is simply a something you can put in the offering plate if you want. If you want a pastoral visit, just go ahead and put yes. And if you do desire a pastoral visit, go ahead and put on the back your name and when a good time would be, if it be daytime or nighttime or evening. And then just go ahead and put it in the offering plate. That would be appreciated. In your bulletins, you'll see several announcements this morning. Looks like we have a pretty busy week this week with pumpkin roll baking and the bell choir and senior choir, ladies aid, and I also we also see in here the disaster relief auction will be this weekend. So be good to see all of you at these events. One other announcement I have this morning is next Sunday, we're going to have Laura Hamilton. She's going to be here at church, and she's going to give a report of her work in the church. Laura has been working here in the church for several months now in the area of conflict transformation, and she's going to be giving a report following worship next Sunday. It's going to be after worship. It's be about 5 to 10 minutes, and next week we'll have more of an idea of who she is, but I just want to announce that next week she'll be here for that. Also, in your bulletins, you'll see a prayer guide this morning. I wanted to just make a special announcement about that. This is in conjunction with today's sermon. Today's sermon is about praying for our leaders in our nation, and I thought it'd be good to devote this week in praying for our leaders. Each week, you just go ahead and spend some time during whenever your devotion time is, read over that passage and just kind of focus on prayer and how you can pray for our leaders. And I believe Cindy Liske has an announcement this morning.
We're planning on having another chicken pot pie dinner. We're planning on it to be November 2nd. It's a Saturday. Dinner's at from 5 to 7, and there'll be takeouts at 4:30. And I do have papers out there on a card table in the gathering place. We have the tickets are in packs of 10. And if you would just, if you take packets, just sign your name so we know. We're trying to keep a count. And we also have a paper if you just want just a couple tickets, then you can put your name and take those tickets. The meal is $10 for adults, $5 for children 6 to 12, and children under 6 are free. And besides the chicken pot pie, we'll have lettuce with bacon dressing, applesauce, rolls, and make your own ice cream sundae. So if you would just help out and take tickets, sell your family and friends, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Sounds really good. Do we have any other announcements this morning before we begin with the songs of praise? Our songs of praise this morning, opening songs of praise, are songs that we sang here before, Here I Am, Lord, and Mighty to Save. So let's all stand, and the praise team will lead us this morning in our songs of praise. Here I Am, Lord, and Mighty to Save.
I have heard my people cry.
Join me in the call to worship as a responsive reading, and this is taken from Chronicles. The Lord says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." We are the people of God. We want to hear his call and respond that our nation under God may fulfill its destiny. We are the church, the body of Christ. What our Lord wants for our nation must begin with us. Lord, hear our nation beginning with us. Let us pray together the invocational prayer in unison. Let us pray. O God, you rule the world from end to end and for all time. You alone are God, and you alone we hope. Forgive our sins, heal our diseases, save our lives from destruction. We repent of our stubbornness and pride. We desire to yield ourselves more fully to your will. Keep us in your presence, that we might serve and witness in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and the children can come forward for the children's story.
Good morning, everybody. Let's get it in a little circle over here. Can you get over here in front? There we go. How is everybody? Good? Okay. Sleepy still? No, I am. I'm sleepy. Okay, this morning we're going to talk about cleanliness and uncleanliness. And what is this? Yeah, hand sanitizer. What do you do with it?
Your hands will get clean.
Yep, your hands get clean. Do you do it before you eat?
Yes.
Sometimes do you forget to clean your hands? Hold on. Sometimes do you forget to clean your hands? Yeah, I think we all have at one point or another, especially if you're really, really hungry. But the religious leaders during Jesus' time lived and were very concerned about cleanliness. They had many religious laws and traditions which they followed to make sure that nothing was unclean into their mouth. So one day, some of these religious leaders asked Jesus why his disciples were not keeping their tradition of washing their hands before they ate. Do you think the disciples may have forgotten to wash their hands?
No.
They just went ahead and ate? Well, this is what Jesus answered to the religious leaders. Daniel's going to read from Matthew chapter 15, verse 18.
But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and this makes a man unclean. Matthew 15, 18.
Yes, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make the man unclean. So, have you ever heard the word, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words won't ever hurt me? Have you ever heard that? That's a popular saying. But words can hurt, can't they? Sometimes they can. Sometimes words can hurt. Sometimes we can be mean to somebody before we think about it, right? We say something that we might regret. And Jesus says that we need to be careful of what we say because they can come out and they'll be unclean. They won't be clean words. He wants us to be clean and pure like him. Now, we make mistakes. We all do. We're human. But we need to say we're sorry when that happens, right? And keep ourselves, our words, clean, just like we clean our hands. All right, let's do our prayer. Are you ready? Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you we get to come into your house and praise your name. We pray, Lord, that the words we say glorify you and don't hurt others. Help us to be clean with our words and our actions. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats.
Thank you for that children's story this morning. Join me in the offertory statement as we prepare to give our offerings to the Lord. Let's read from the Bible, from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Let's read this in unison. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Let us pray. Lord, as we prepare to give our offerings to you, we thank you for the greatest gift that you have given us, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the privilege of serving you in the church. We pray for the needs of this ministry and the needs around the world. We pray that these offerings, Lord, would help those in need. And we'll give you, Lord, all the praise, honor, and glory, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, the children can go to Children's Church and invite the ushers to come forward as we have our morning offering. The offertory song this morning is Heal Our Land.
You take our lives, flawed yet beautiful. Restore, refine, Lord, you're merciful. Speak through your word. We pray in it. that every heart will know. The one who took our sin, the one who died and rose. So God, we pray to you, humble ourselves again. Lord, will you hear our cry? Lord, will you heal our land? That every eye will see, that every heart will know. The one who took our sin, the one who died and rose. And when your kingdom comes, and when at last we fall, we'll rise to worship you.
Thank you for that wonderful special music, Rachel, Megan, and Ricky, this morning. In your bulletin, you'll see a list of names we need to remember in prayer. This morning at 6 o'clock, bright and early, I saw the disaster relief team, leave this morning for North Carolina. They left at bright and early 6 o'clock. It was Earl, Liskey, Melissa, and Ken and Amelia. So we need to keep them in prayer as they travel for their project. Received word this morning that one of our members, I believe her name is Wendy Asper. Tony told me her name. I think I got her name right. She was over here at the nursing home up the street here. She died, so we need to remember Wendy Asper and the family in prayer, along with the many others that we see here this morning. And this morning, as we have our morning prayer, I'd like for us to conclude our prayer in unison with all of us saying the Lord's Prayer. So let's come before God this morning in our morning prayer. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this time of worship where we glorify and honor you. And sometimes, Lord, when it comes to coming to church to worship you, we need to put aside all of our concerns, our fears, and just lay them down before you. Because, Lord, we know that you are our sovereign Lord. We know that you are in control of the affairs of this world and our country, Lord God. This morning, Lord, as we look at the passage of praying for our leaders, we do pray for our nation and our leaders right now because, Lord, we are in need of you right now more than ever. We pray, Lord, that our prayers, our example, Lord, would begin with us as people of the church. We pray that we would do as Jesus said, to be the light of Jesus Christ, to let our light shine. And as Paul says, to have peace and godliness, to live in peace and godliness, to live a quiet life, Lord, just focusing on serving you and serving our fellow men and women. We pray a special prayer for our nation and those in harm's way who are serving our nation and the military for our protection. We thank you for them. We pray a hedge of protection upon those who serve our country for our freedom. We thank you so much for the freedom that we have this morning in coming to church and worship on a beautiful Lord's Day. We thank you for the fellowship that we have with our brothers and sisters in church. And God, we lift up the brothers and sisters on our prayer list this morning who need you right now. We pray for each of these individuals, for situation that they're facing, for the illnesses, Lord God, that you would heal their illnesses, Lord, and give them wholeness right now. We pray especially for Wendy Asper, who passed away. Be with the family right now as they deal with this loss. We pray a special prayer right now on our disaster relief team. We thank you for these four brothers and sisters who have volunteered their time to serve to relieve in this disaster relief. We pray your special traveling mercies upon them and upon the work that they do. Lord, that the people would see Jesus in their example as they serve in this project. We pray that you would look upon the church right now as we are to be your example, your light. We pray that you would guide us now as we look into your holy word for understanding, for inspiration, for guidance. As you look in this morning's scripture text, may it bring understanding and strength to our souls. And Lord, as a church, we want to end this prayer in the spirit of unity as we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Turn in your Bibles this morning to our scripture text. We're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 2 through 7, towards the end of the New Testament. Is where you find 1 Timothy. It's where all the T's are, by Thessalonians and Titus. I will, this morning, we're going to end the message on a guided prayer for our nation that I will lead you through at the end of this message. But let's look at the scripture text, 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord from the Apostle Paul. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. May God add blessing of the reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. May we receive, Lord, your wisdom and your guidance through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we are honest with ourselves, we will admit that what the Bible tells us to do in today's lesson is somewhat hard. To pray for all who are in authority over us, because when we talk about those in authority, it includes a variety of leaders, a variety of ones who are over us. It includes federal workers, state workers, law enforcement. It includes leaders that we need and also leaders that we question. We live in a world where some of those who are in authority are very corrupt and evil. And I'm not just talking about our country's leaders, because when you think about it, we in the United States are blessed because we haven't had the likes of leaders like Adolf Hitler. I mean, I can't imagine what it would have been like to be a Jew in the Holocaust and pray for someone like Adolf Hitler who had authority over the people. Or how could the early Christians, as we look in today's lesson, how could the early Christians pray for the Roman emperor, who was Nero at the time, who persecuted Christians to the point where he actually burned Christians in public? And here Paul tells, you need to pray for these in authority. Yet, this is what Paul told the early Christians and us to do. To pray for those kings and all who are in authority. I can just hear the early Christians tell Paul, what are you thinking? Why should we pray for this evil dictator who wants to kill us just because he has authority? But Paul was telling these Christians and us today as Christians, you have a higher standard. As Christians, we have a higher standard to follow. And that's why Paul says to pray and lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And Paul would also tell these Christians who are questioning why they should pray for these in authority. He would tell the Christians, you need to trust in God's ways. Even when it comes to praying for those in authority who have questionable character. And this is the way prayer works. Prayer works that way in God's kingdom. God works in mysterious ways that we don't understand. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 8, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. We know that God is all-powerful and almighty. I think we can all agree to that. And he is able to dethrone and put down any evil dictator. And he is able to change any circumstance for his glory, but it has to come on God's timing and not ours. I want us to look at an example of Daniel. If you have your Bibles, look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 to 35. In the book of Daniel, we find an evil dictator named Nebuchadnezzar who destroyed the temple and destroyed God's people. But all of a sudden, God humbled Nebuchadnezzar and changed him to the point where he said this. If you look at Daniel 4, 34 to 35. It says, at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is a everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He that is God does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Now, this was this evil dictator who all of a sudden realized that, you know what? I'm not that powerful after all. So we know that God is all powerful. But at the same time, God also chose us as Christians to help change the world through our prayers. And God gave us as believers the Holy Spirit, which, according to Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. James in the Bible gives us assurance in our prayers. James says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." In other words, prayer has great power and wonderful results. But do we believe that? Do we believe that? If there's one important point we need to remember, it is this. We must first believe that we have a God who answers prayers. Jesus taught us, and we just said this in a prayer this morning, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," in any situation we face. But what does that mean in your life, in my life? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." What does that mean when it comes to praying for those who are in authority? We might want to see someone out of office, whatever that office or that position is. But does God want that person there? Did you ever think that for whatever position of authority there is, God has that person in that office for a reason? It may not be to give honor and glory to God, but God might have a reason for that person to be there. And I'm not some prophet who can predict what's going to happen in the future when it comes to kingdoms that rise and fall and leaders that rise and fall. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Only God does. But I do know that God has a reason for people to be in office at an important time and a prominent location and prominent time. And I believe we are living in a prime time in our nation. We, as people, need God's direction and God's power now more than ever. If you look in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, Paul gives us a very interesting twist on how he sees authority. Romans 13, verses 1 to 2, Paul tells us, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God." That's something to remember. "Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." So what Paul is saying here is that he was someone who respected the given order of society, and he was someone who didn't want to change it. You know, I don't think Paul was one of those protesters out there in the streets protesting everything about the government and the state. He respected the state. Now, that didn't mean that he agreed with every decision that the government made. He didn't do that. He didn't agree with the leaders who were in authority. I know that he believed that there are leaders who are evil. But he also believed that God could change them through God's power and authority. He believed that if it's God's will, God will find some way to get that person out of office or leadership, whatever that was. Because, as he says, there is no authority except from God, which we need to believe. So in the meantime, you and I are citizens of this country and citizens of this state. And what is our responsibility? Look at our text from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. chapter 2, verse 1, he says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. In other words, our example is to let our life be an example of Jesus. He says your character is tied into your prayer life. In other words, if you believe that you are a prayer warrior, then your life and your example must reflect that. And if we as Christians don't know the truth of God, then how can we be ruled by the truth of God? You can't. Let your character be known. As Jesus would say, let your light shine. And when it comes to people in political office, I'm sure we have opportunities to let ourselves be known to them, whether it's through a town hall meeting or writing a letter. And I think it's important to let yourself be known to anyone who is in office, locally, nationally, however the opportunity comes. Just let them know that you're praying for them. That's what you need to do. It could be through a letter, it could be through an email or a public event where that person is speaking. And I think it also would be good just to let that person in office know that you believe what the Bible says, what Timothy says, that you're living a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And I'm sure they would say, good. You know, we don't want any rebellious people who are going to overthrow our nation and our values. We don't need that. I think it's someone like Billy Graham, who had a personal relationship with several presidents. I'm not sure. It might have been 8 presidents or so. He had a wonderful relationship with them. And they all respected Billy Graham as a man of God, because Billy Graham had good character along with being a prayer warrior. And Billy Graham prayed for our presidents while they were in office. But this morning, I want to tell you that you don't have to be a Billy Graham to pray for our leaders, do you? Second important point we need to know is that we must have grace in our hearts as we pray for our leaders. Grace in our hearts. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 6. After Paul says to pray for our leaders, he says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So that says that we are all in need of prayer just as much as our leaders are. Because God desires all people to come to salvation in Jesus Christ. We're all under grace. Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is our go-between, our sinful selves and God. He gave himself as a ransom for all people. God wants all people to come to know him and be saved through Jesus Christ. E.F. Brown, a theologian, commented on these verses by saying, and I quote, this is the charter of missionary work. This is a proof that all men are capable of receiving God, unquote. Now, this doesn't mean that all people are saved. People need to choose and accept Christ within their own hearts and minds. Instead, it says, all people have the opportunity to receive God in their lives, even the most powerful leader we may know. No one is beyond the saving power of Christ. That's what we need to have in our hearts and as grace in our hearts. I think of a leader like Abraham Lincoln, who was president at one of the most difficult times in our country with the Civil War. And along with that, Lincoln had many people who wanted to kill him because of where he stood. And because of that, Lincoln was known as a man of prayer. He once said this, and I quote, I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Now think about that. A man who was brilliant,
who walked miles and miles as a boy just to find a book to read, which would include the Bible. He did that. Here's a man who had all this wisdom as president, and he confessed he didn't know what decision to make as president at times. And his only source of wisdom was prayer. Brothers and sisters, if only we had this kind of humility of prayer within our own hearts, with the situations we face each day, with decisions we need to make, that we have no one else to turn to in our prayers. We need God's guidance. We need God's wisdom. The third important point to remember is prayer is the great work of God that God gave us as believers. Prayer is a great work. Oswald Chambers says this: prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work, unquote. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 12, that prayer is our spiritual armor. Why? To fight against the principalities and the powers, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In other words, God gave us prayer as a spiritual weapon in the area of spiritual warfare, in the area that is the unseen battle of God's forces against Satan's forces. One of the ways we can do battle against Satan's forces is to pray for our leaders in office. I mean, how many of us would want to see our leaders in public office do the greater work of God in prayer and take battle against Satan's forces? We can be part of that greater work of God. You say, how do I pray for our leaders? First, pray that God will protect them from harm. I don't really think we know what it's like to hold public office and to have a bunch of people who are against them, receiving death threats, families threatened, family members. So pray that God would do his great work and intervene and protect our leaders and their families. Second, pray that our leaders would know God's truth in their lives. Pray that our leaders would know God's truth in their lives and in the life of our country. Pray that our leaders would have the knowledge of former President Abraham Lincoln, who once said this, and I quote, "The Bible," he says, "is the best gift God has given to men. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book, but for it we would not know right from wrong." How many leaders do we need like that? A lot of them. And finally, pray that we as a church would become prayer warriors. To end our sermon this morning, I decided that we have a time of intercessory prayer for our leaders in our nation. And what I'll be doing is I'm going to be having a guided prayer that's written by Karen Barber. Karen Barber is the founding director of Prayers Igniters International. And this guided prayer was used at the National Day of Prayer Service back in 2011. And what I'll do is that I will read each phrase. I'll pause for a minute of silence when you offer your own prayer for our leaders. So let us come to the throne of prayer to our God. Let us bow our heads. And let us pray. Father, we begin by thanking you for the many things that you have given our nation. Let us silently thank God. Jesus, we see much evidence of people who are looking for meaning in their lives in our nation. Let us pray silently for those names who come to us who need to be found. God, we have great need for your guidance in the direction of our country that is going. Let us name our leaders silently and pray for the difficult issues they face. Father, we need your peace and protection. Let us pray silently for our men and women in the armed forces and for the countries around the world where there is conflict. Jesus, we see great division in the name of religion in our world. We silently pray that your church will be able to reach out to love as you love. God, we have concerns for the families and marriages in our nation. We silently pray for those struggling with family issues today. And Father, we thank you for ministers, for missionaries, and lay people who are doing your work. Let us silently name them and pray that you will send more workers into your field. Lord, hear our prayers for our nation and our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us conclude our service this morning by singing a praise song, One Thing Remains. And I ask the praise team to come forward as we sing One Thing Remains. Would you stand, please? Our benediction is taken from number 6, verses 24 through 26. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.